This morning, before our prayer time, Bill and I just fellowshipping, and he was telling me about his grandson, Brendan, who's a year and a half old, that whenever he eats, he always does this, more, more, more. And I'm hearing that and thinking, don't we want more of him today, man? I mean, are you here seeking to want to know him more, to grasp his word more? Jeremiah 23, thank you for that worship and prayer, Jonathan, because it brought me to Jeremiah 23, 28 and 29. It says, the prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. So thank you for your prayer. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord. And verse 29 of Jeremiah 23 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters the rock. I love that, because I think that's what his word does. I mean, I want his word to shatter our lives, shatter our hearts, shatter our consciences, shatter our lives. Today, I'm leaving Philippians just for a week because the word perseverance came to me a couple weeks ago, and I started thinking about that. And when I looked on my dictionary app, praise God, it said perseverance, steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, etc., especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. It had a definition that was stated theology. When it comes to persistence, it means continuous in a state of grace till the end, leading to eternal salvation. Now, if you want to have some synonyms for the word perseverance, you could call it backbone, consistency, continuous, cool, dedication, determination, doggedness, that's a cool word, drive, endurance, grit, guts, moxie, purposefulness, spunk, stamina, tenacity, all about perseverance. Sarah and John, good to have you here. Can you just stand up for a minute? Because I want the congregation to see a smile of a couple that's just been married for how long? 2 weeks now? Please stand up so they can see it. Beautiful. Oh, my God. That wedding, beautiful. A little hot, but praise God. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, and I love that word therefore, because if you look back at Hebrews chapter 11, man, they call that the hall of fame, hall of faith, all the people through the Old Testament, how they lived and how they persevered and the things they accomplished and how Lord used them in a mighty way. And in chapter 12, he starts off, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything, the Bible says, that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, what did he do? Scorning, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right-hand throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And sometimes, you know, when I watch the news and I see what's going on around America, it's easy to lose heart today. It's easy to be weary about things that are going on. Oswald Chambers, probably the best devotional book ever, he said, faith is not some weak and pitiful emotion, but it's a strong and vigorous confidence built on the fact that God is holy love. So it starts with faith. It's like faith is like a supreme effort of our life. It's throwing ourselves with abandonment and total confidence on God. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. In your listening, God, I put perseverance means to live your Christian life with patience and endurance in doing what is right. And patience sometimes is a hard thing, but it's needed for endurance in doing what is right. I mean, you think about the supreme effort. I thought about the supremes. You know, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. That should be our song. That should be our declaration of wanting to get closer to Jesus, because there's going to be times when there are highs. There's going to be times when there's low. There's times when things are going to seem wild, but we just got to keep going on. Perseverance is a steadfast effort to know God's, to follow God's command, and to do His work. So we look at these three verses in Hebrews 12, and you want to answer the question, well, what do we need to do to run with perseverance in this generation? What do we need to do to run this race that He has for us, marked out for us? And the first thing I would say would be surround yourself with other believers. So important. Chapter 11 of Hebrews gives us such great examples of men and women of faith and the value and the blessing they receive by living out their faith. We all need Christian friends who can inspire us or pray for you or help you or challenge you and encourage you. That's why youth ministry is so important. That's why children's ministry is so important, because you want to surround yourself. When you come in here on Sunday morning as teenagers, or come in here on Wednesday night when you have your services and your games and your celebration and your worship, man, look to see who you can inspire. When you're here on Sunday morning, look to see who you can pour into to challenge or to help or to encourage. So being a part of a Bible study or being a part of community group will help you do those things. It's so important. In today's generation, we need to surround ourselves with a great cloud of witnesses. We need to surround ourselves with people who are passionate and excited, wanting to dig and grow and learn about God, so then we can be equipped and prepared to go out and make a difference in this generation for Him, in our schools for Him, in our workplace for Him. So find yourself some cloud of witnesses, gather with them, fellowship with them, go over great questions like we did today. Eric, excellent, excellent question today. Really got us digging. I mean, I wanted to bring those four ladies up on the stage today. They refused. They're not going to come up here. But I wanted them to come up here and just share the wisdom that was coming out of them today. I was so encouraged by that. So you got to find some people who will inspire you by godly living. We don't want to just be spectators in this life. We don't want to just hear the word. We just don't want to come here and hear the word. We want to go out with the word and live out our faith with perseverance. And that's what I'm trying to hone in on today, is perseverance, so that we can one day say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Kathy and I traveled down to Fairfax Hospital. You know, Bob and Marie Stevens were here last Sunday, and he went and had a heart valve replacement on Tuesday, and things went well. I mean, I called him Monday night and prayed for him, and Bob made this statement to me, and Regina said, he said the same thing. He goes, Nick, I'm in a win-win situation. That's how he looked at having a heart valve replacement and being in hospital. I'm in a win-win situation. You know, so then on Thursday, I got a call from his daughter. He had to go back in. He had a stroke on Thursday, and turned out he had a number of mini strokes. So Kathy and I traveled down to the hospital last night, even though I thought it was Fair Oaks, but it was Fairfax. They both start with an F, man. I didn't realize, and I called up. So praise God, Kathy drove. We had to go on the Beltway, man. That was tough, man. Too many lanes, too much traffic. You know, I mean, I see all that traffic moving. It makes me think of Led Zeppelin. I don't know why, but it was just tough. But walking in that hospital room and seeing Bob there, you know, with Marie there and his daughter and her husband and his son, and he had this orange smock on. Well, I say it was yellow smock with orange dots. I said, Bob, don't wear that to church next Sunday, man. I mean, it was unbelievable. But he's doing good. I mean, he wanted me to personally thank you all for your prayers, because I know Elizabeth is so faithful, putting out prayer requests for people. And I texted the elders, and they're all the elders texting me back. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. So he's in the hospital. He's doing good. He's going to be 80 in December. We're going to have to throw some kind of huge party for him. Maybe we could all wear yellow and orange polka dots there. It'd be beautiful. But to throw off everything that hinders you You have to ask yourself this question today, and I want to ask you this. At this point in your life, what's hindering you? What's hindering you from growing closer to God? Is there anything that you're doing or participating in that's hindering you from growing closer to God? Or maybe even another way to ask the question is, what are you not doing that you should be doing to help you draw closer to God? Number three, lay aside the sin that so easily entangles. Some versions put ensnare. You know, synonyms for entangle or ensnare would be, what's burdening you? What's complicated in your life? What's compromising that's going on in your life? What's confusing? What's trying to trap you? What's trying to twist the scriptures in your mind? So, you know, you have to find out what's keeping you from growing in your relationship with God. Then you have to lay aside that. Could it be unforgiveness? Could it be you're struggling and holding on maybe to an offense against someone? Because when you do that, you usually end up spending time examining other people and examining your own self. And believe me, I'm there right now. Is it forgiving yourself for things that you did in the past that you think God will never forgive you for? And then I realize in Proverbs, God really hates out the things He hates. He writes it out. And I know hate is not a politically correct term today, but it's in the Bible. In Proverbs 6:16-19, the writer of Proverbs says this: there are six things which the Lord hates. You realize you can walk out of here today knowing what God is not happy about. And He says, yes, there's seven which are an abomination to Him. And one is a haughty eyes. Two is a lying tongue. You know, I'm reading these in the media just, I mean, MSNBC and CNN, it's just coming up into my mind. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, one who spreads strife among brothers. Lay those things aside. Those are the things that God hates. Lay them aside. Don't get entangled by them or ensnared by them. In the Message version of Hebrews 12:2, it says, strip down. Start running. Never quit. Number four in perseverance from those verses, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's our bottom line. That should be our drive. That should be our passion. That should be our thing in everything we do every day, wherever we are. Because you'll never be able to run this race called life without perseverance, without your eyes fixed on Jesus. Why? Because the verses tells us He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He's scorning the shame and sat down at the right hand throne of God. Jesus, in His parable about the sower, in Luke 8:15, He says, but the seed, and you find out that it's seed from verse, if you look at verse 11, the seed's the Word of God. So, but the Word of God is the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the Word in an honest and good heart and hold fast and bear fruit with what? Perseverance. You're going to need perseverance to bear fruit in this life. You think about the New Testament, it makes it clear that faith alone can save, but it equally makes clear that perseverance in doing good works is the greatest indication that an individual's faith is genuine. That's how you know, by doing those good things, by working out your salvation. The word perseverance in the NIV Bible is 12 times. How do we gain and develop perseverance? I wanted to go to Romans, a couple places in Romans I want to share today. Romans 5:1-5, subtitle, peace and joy. Anybody want peace and joy in your life? Here you go. Starting out, therefore, again. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that verse. There are so many religions and other cults out there telling you ways that they think you can have peace. And God just nails it out right here. You're justified by your faith. You have peace with God, which only comes through Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith, there's faith again, into this grace in which we now stand. We're supposed to live our life standing upon that grace. And the Word says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And in verse 3, not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. So when you're going through trials and tribulations and suffering and rough times in your life, you got to find out how you can give glory to God. You got to find that place where you get together and talk to God and get into His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to make that Word come alive to you. And when you have trials and tribulations, like when you lose a loved one or you lose a friend, you know that when you give Him glory, the Word of God tells us this, that will gain perseverance, that will gain character, that will gain hope. And verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given us. A promise from God's Word. That's a promise on how we can have peace and joy. In your listening, God, I put, as a result of perseverance, the Christian can expect not only to enhance the strength of the church, but also build up the strength of his or her character. James says it this way when it comes to trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. It's hard to say it. It's hard to realize it, but consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. It's beautiful. So you realize that when you have trials in your life, give Him glory. When you have trials in your life, you know you're going to gain perseverance. You know perseverance must finish its work, and that's a lifelong process. And what happens out of that? You become mature. Even as a teenager, you become mature. Even as an adult, you become mature and you become complete, not lacking anything. It's a promise from God's Word. And you're listening, God, I put perseverance means resisting temptations and enduring in the midst of trials and difficulties. In the New American Standard Bible, perseverance mentioned 22 times. Paul tells us that what happens when you do persevere and doing good, and what happens if you choose not to. Because here we can see both sides of the coin right now. You're either going to be doing things, you know, God's way, learning perseverance, or not. And it's in Romans 2, 5 through 11. He says it this way, Paul, to the church, to the Romans. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who, and then for some reason, New American Standard Bible, it just becomes all capital letters. Who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man. And this is showing the future of anybody who refuses not to live by the things of God, who refuses not to repent of their sins and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, who thinks they're going to gain peace or gain harmony with God without repentance. It's not going to happen. But he said there'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good. To the Jew first and also the Greek. For there's no partiality with God. We don't have to talk about race relations with God. Everybody's the same. No partiality. And if you wanted to break down those verses, because if you're stubborn and you have an unrepentive heart, the Word of God gives us what's going to happen. You're going to store up wrath for yourself. A day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It says God will render to each person according to his deeds. We won't be able to give any excuses. We won't be able to give justifications of not living for God. Because they are selfishly ambitious. They're not obeying the truth. They obey unrighteousness and wrath and indignation. There'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. But the great thing, the good news, the gospel of knowing Christ, those verses tell you, for those who by perseverance are doing good, they seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Bible says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's what we have to share with this generation. That's what we need to have passion for, that comes from the Holy Spirit making the Word of God come alive to us. Like Jonathan was reading out of Jude today, man. Have compassion on some. Snatch them out of the fire. You know, hating the sin, but not the sinner. Love on them. Share the truth with them. Live out the truth for them. So then you can be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, like Peter shares. Romans 15:4-9. For whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction. That's why we feed on this Word. That's why we want to live out this Word. Because it's there for our instruction. So that through what? Through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives, because you found out from this verse, who gives perseverance. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may be one voice, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We love when visitors come here. We love when new people come here. We pray for that. We pray for people to drive through and maybe see our flags, or, you know, maybe met somebody who goes to this church and for some reason were invited here. Oh my gosh, who would ever think of that? Invited here, and we become... I love that cry. I love it. Praise God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Crying for the love of Christ. Praise God. So bottom line, the Word tells us, and if the band wants to come forward, I just have a little bit more. The Word tells us to flee, and I'm going to show you that. The Word tells us to pursue. The Word tells us to fight. The Word tells us to take hold. The Word tells us to keep the commandments. And I'm here today to tell you, if you want to do those things, you're going to need perseverance. 1 Timothy 1:6-11, just couple more passages. Flee from these things, Paul wrote to Timothy. He was pouring into Timothy. He was his young protege. He was his young son. He was preparing him to be a pastor. He tells Timothy, flee from these things, you man of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Can we read verse 11 together? Because I want us to tell each other this. Because these are the things we should be saying. Let's read verse 11 together. But flee from these things, you man of God. Point to somebody and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, read with me. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good conscience in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. That you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, which he will bring about in the proper time in his plan. He who is blessed, the only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality, dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see, to him be glory and honor forever and ever. Perseverance springs from a faithful trust that God has been steadfast toward his people. So through persevering in God's work, Christians prove that we appreciate for God's saving grace. Ushers, if you want to come forward, we're going to take our offering now. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, I'll close with this. But thanks be to God, with an explanation point they use in the NIV. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear friends, my dear brothers, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Father, we lift up your word today. Father, we pray that perseverance is going to be ringing in our hearts this week, Lord. That these verses will be ringing in our hearts. To realize that you are going to allow trials and tribulations to come so that we can gain perseverance, so that we can gain proven character, the New American Standard Bible says, so that we can gain hope. Father, I lift up our offering to you today. Father, bless those. Bless those who give. Father, bless their socks off. Show them what it means to give sacrificially. Show them what it means that it will be pressed down and shaken together, like Luke wrote, that running over, that our vats will be full, that our houses will be blessed, that we'll be blessed when we're going down the road, when we're going in our job, when we're going home, Father. Father, I lift up, right now I just feel like lifting up the parents to you, Lord, who are pouring into their children, pouring Christ into them, loving on them, disciplining them when they need discipline, Father, showing them, directing them to look into your word for truth, to look into your word to know what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Praying for them that we would shine like bright stars in the universe that I talked about a couple weeks ago, as we hold fast to your word, Lord. So thank you, Father. Give us that fear and trembling, Father, to work out our salvation. Father, I ask you to bless our offering, Lord. Father, I ask you to bless our altar time. We got a lot of time to pray for one another. We got a lot of time to encourage one another and to inspire one another and to challenge one another to grow closer to you, Father. Not to the things of this world, but to you, Father. So bless our offering and our altar time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Lord.